Series. So turn your Bibles to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Transformed. We need to be transformed in a lot of different ways. Transformed means changed radically. And we're going to talk about worship today. I was a policeman for 20 years. I'll never forget this incident. I was walking into the sergeant's office, and there was one of my sergeants. And I shook hands and I patted him on the back. And I said, "Hey, buddy, man, you're not wearing a vest, a bullet-resistant vest, something that, as a Reno police officer, should be on you. It's not required even to this day." But I remember once forgetting mine. And I was talking to a lady at her front door. I'm on the job. And I go, "You call me. I'll be right back." Literally forgot my vest. And they're not bulletproof. Did you know that? They're bullet resistant. And this sergeant, I said, "Hey, man, you don't have your vest on." He says, Mark, "Why would I cover up this body to have a vest on?" I said, "Because that body, bullets go through. Well, that's why." Another man I pulled over once, a man... this is back when cell phones were just coming out and people could have a car phone. Wow. Remember the case? The car phone case. But he took a kitchen phone and drilled it into his A-post of his Chevy Cavalier and had the big, long cord sitting there. And I pulled him over on a speeding and I went, "Oh, what's that?" "It's my car phone." I said, and I picked up, "Hello? Hello?" He's like, "It's not real." I said, "Why do you have it?" It's for the girls. They like it. Press five, hard copies. Five copies, press hard. Another man showed up at church with my father-in-law's church, and he was sweating. This is in Texas, where he's a pastor, and he goes, why are you sweating so hard?" He says, "Oh, man, I came here with the windows rolled up on my car." He goes, "Why didn't you roll them down?" He says, "Because I didn't want anybody to know I don't have AC." Now, all these have something in common. We are really, really worried about what people think of us. We have a problem in our society, and it's been going on forever, about what people think of us. And I think it's important that we represent the Lord well and maybe not so worry about ourselves. And we need to transform this in our life because it's impacting our worship. And when Jesus was speaking this on the Mount there on the Galilee, he had to address this issue of pride in our worship. You see, this needs to be transformed. It didn't need to be transformed then. They had already messed it up so bad. A transformer. We need a transformer. You kids are like, "Cool, I have a couple." But no, I mean a real transformer. Now, there's a transformer on our pole out here. And I had to look that up a little bit this week on what a transformer does. But what it does is there's a lot of power coming down the line. They kind of throw the power down there, and it's high voltage. And the transformer goes through, and they bring it down enough so our implements can handle it. So we don't blow our computers up. In fact, when lightning strikes, we get a power surge, and you have to have surge protectors. Well, that's what a transformer does. Some transformers actually build the energy up and send more down the line. But the ones we're talking about is it brings the voltage down. That's interesting because I think one of the best transformer illustrations is Jesus. Because if you were to actually see God the Father, just you and him, the Bible said you'd fry right now, you'd be dead. And the Bible says that. "No man see me. If they did, in the flesh, they would die." And so we need a transformer. Someone that can come in between, bring the voltage down. So we can receive God. And there's only one person that can handle that kind of voltage. And his name is? Amen. Say it a little louder. Jesus. That's right. Jesus is a transformer, and the power comes through him, and he makes it through his blood able for us to be touched by God himself. Man, this is incredible that Jesus would stand in the way of the wrath of God, take the hit, and then give us grace on the other side. Something that would fry us. But he blesses us. I was in high school. I was in track. I wasn't a good runner. I know that just shocks you. I was okay. I was in the big man relay. But what I did like to do is throw the javelin. They don't have them anymore because probably so many kids got killed or something or hurt. But I threw the javelin, and I was a sophomore, and I'm out there throwing the javelin. I'm one of the only ones, and so I'm bored. Bored sophomores, not good. And we're out there, and I'm throwing the javelin, and I'm thinking, man, I can throw this thing a long ways, and I was winning some things, and I just got bored, and I looked out there, and I went, wow, that's a power pole. I wonder if I could throw the javelin over the power lines. And I didn't think a thing of it. So it might go through them or something. And so I get back there and I threw it. And you know, it was a beautiful flight. Because when a javelin flies, it goes, kind of, you want it to do that. You don't want to just do like an arrow. It kind of floats. And it was floating. I'm going, kah, kah, kah. It's going to go over. And as it comes up, it just touched the first wire. And just laid down on the next one. We call that an arc. And birds do this and they fall out of the sky. Dead. And this javelin's made of aluminum. It's a very excellent conductor of electricity. And I remember seeing that thing just stop up there and just go. And this nice little fireball flows down the line and hits the transformer a block away. And a stick of dynamite sound goes off. Boom! And the school goes, not a light anywhere. And my javelin finally falls off the wire. And I go get it and dust the soot off of it. And it's got arc welds all over it. And people come out, what's going on? I don't know. What happened? What's going on out here? That's my only transformer story I have, really. Has very little to do with the sermon. But I guess what I want to say to you is you don't want to get in between God without Jesus. I want you to read this, and we read this so often that we forget who we're talking about, and Jesus is really, really bringing it together here on one of the best sermons, indeed, the King of Preachers. Would you stand with me as we read this? Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8, and then 16 through 18. It's talking about three things that we can practice our righteousness before. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites. Hypocrites means to wear a mask or to be an actor. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who's in secret. and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance that they will be noticed by men when they're fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, as we read this. It's been so familiar to so many of us, we might skip that, Lord, there's rewards to be had here. And they're going to mean everything to us. And it'll be the difference for many of us in this house about our eternity. And so, Lord, would we sober up? Would we, as we say in your word, beware of how we're worshiping you? Lord, it's the most important thing we're going to do in this world. Lord, touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When Jesus came on the scene here, the religious world was really messed up, much like today. A lot of different philosophies, a lot of things going on. If you read chapter 5, he continues to hit what sin is. They had messed it up. They, you know, they were in Roman occupation, so they hated their enemy. They had hatred in their heart. They considered the doing of sins as sinful, but not the wanting of it. Oh, we're going to meet the Lord with what we want to do. And so Jesus comes and he's speaking to them about all the things that they have messed up. From adultery to murder to divorce to loving your enemy or hating your enemy, all these things he addresses. And Jesus was saying that at the time of his appearing, the worship needed to be transformed. That means a radical change from what it is to something else. And really, some things I want to ask just right off the beginning of this sermon here is regards to rewards. Because we need to be concerned about rewards. You are giving your life. Peter would be saying that this man came to Jesus and said, I want to join you. He says, you know, the foxes have their holes, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. And the man left. And Peter says, man, we've left everything for you. Are we going to be poor? And Jesus said, oh, no. You'll be given 100 times more because you followed me in this life and the life to come. Now, that might be different than what we think. But Hebrews 11:6 says, we must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. First thing I want you to know is, do not be ashamed of being rewarded by the Lord. Some of the best rewards in your life will always come. In fact, the greatest ones are from Jesus. And you need them. And you need them bad. And so my first question is, when do you want to be paid for your deeds? The deeds that you did in the name of the Lord Jesus that we call worship today. The first question is, when? When do you want to pay? Because according to Scripture, you can get it today, right now. Just, all of us will just do it. I guess it went like this. I kind of did this in youth. I got some money here. I'm going to give it. Do we have any trumpeters in the... Can we kind of go... Doo, 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 doo. Go ahead, try that. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's it. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you, brother. You see how ridiculous that was? They did this, really. They took some money out. They hired a trumpeter. And they walked up to the temple like this. And they gave a lot of money. Not a dollar. And when the widow came up and gave 2 mites, I have some in my office, I got from Israel. She kind of slipped them into the coffer. Jesus shut the whole place down and said, whoa, 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 something great's happened in Israel today. Because someone gave everything they had. They sacrificed. And they still didn't get it. That our worship is between us and God and nobody else. And so when you give, when do you want to be paid? When you give money, when you spend money. When you spend prayer time, when you spend your time, when do you want to be paid? Do you want to be paid now or later? Because now is the praise of men. Later is the praise of the Lord. Fasting, when you spend your sacrifices, you sacrifice yourself, do you want to be noticed now or do you want to be blessed in secret? That's what Jesus is asking. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to spend your money, your time, and sacrifice, do you want to just blow it dollar for dollar? Minute for minute, praise for praise? It sounds like a terrible investment. That for one moment here, I can get someone else to pay me for the same amount and we're done. That doesn't sound like an investment to me. It sounds like a ripoff. In fact, God says, what would it gain for you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? We need to start investing in our future and with the Lord. So the second question is, how do you want to be paid? How do you want to be paid for your worship? Openly with man or in secret with the Lord, who will reward you with blessings only he can give. So when and how? My daddy got saved in 1963. My brother and I were not born yet. We were the last two of the five kids. I never knew my dad smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, cussing. I never saw that side of him or my mother. That's very foreign. That'd be a very foreign. I'd really freak me out if I came home and found my dad smoking, drinking, cussing, watching TV. I wouldn't find that. But as he grew, in 1966, he's been a Christian for 2.5 years. He had gotten rid of a bunch of addiction in his life. The Lord was really graciously saved him and took all these things out of my mom and dad's life. He decides to take the next step. It seems like it's always a step for so many new Christians. I'm going to tithe. A tithe doesn't mean when you feel good about what you're giving. It means 10%. An actual number. 10-0. That means when you make $100, 10 of it goes to the Lord. And so he's going to do that in 1966. And he made, interestingly enough, in 66, he made $6,600. It wasn't even a good salary then. He had five kids to feed, little Marky. I could eat. I had diapers, the whole thing. They almost filed bankruptcy. They came dangerously close. Talked to a banker. They encouraged him. He talked to the pastor. Pastor says, don't do that. I wouldn't do that. Pay your debts. Let's go. He says, Pastor, man, I committed. Here it is, December. I committed to the Lord. I was going to tithe. Look at the financial mess I'm in. It doesn't seem like it paid. And the pastor went, what are you talking about? Two of your children came to faith in Christ this year. What are you talking about? What are you looking at? Church, I want to ask you, what are you looking at when it comes to what you do for the Lord? What kind of blessings can money not buy? That's what Jesus is asking. Where's your heart here? Jesus was just challenging the crowd with a statement about the scribes and the Pharisees that if their righteousness did not surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that rocked their world. Because the Pharisees did everything in 10%. They were over and they prayed a bunch and you looked at them and they seemed so holy and all this. And Jesus said it's a big facade. It's all for show. And you better do better than them. And it comes down to the heart. It comes down to the heart. In fact, he attacks our giving of money, even to ourself. You shouldn't even be praising yourself in your heart. In fact, your left hand shouldn't know what your right hand... I mean, I can't do that. Obviously, that's impossible. Okay, I'm going to do this without this hand knowing. Obviously, it's a metaphor. Obviously, it's about the truth, and it's about how you're handling it in your head and your heart. Jesus won't even let you get away with it there. And so, how's that going? Now, Jesus turns from the violations of the law to the scribes and Pharisees' evil practices of righteousness, how they practice their righteousness. And Jesus gives a strong opening statement. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Careful here. You're going to mess up your reward. Jesus then gave them three illustrations of practices of righteousness. And every religion has adopted the acts of worship, from almsgiving, tithing, giving money, prayer, and fasting. Other religions do the same. They have a whole different view. It's a works thing. Muslims, one of the most favorite Muslim died this week, Muhammad Ali. Prayer, fasting, and alms are the chief duties required. In fact, one of their prophets say this: prayer, it is said, will carry a man halfway to paradise. And fasting will bring him to the gates, and alms will give him entrance. No such truth. It's not in the Bible. But these are used in our religions. Our Roman Catholicism have skewed these areas of worship to be very full of self-interest, from indulgences, prepaid sin. Tell the priest, I kind of want to sin. Can I give you a little money? Sure, go ahead. Give me the money now. You're forgiven. Go ahead, have fun. That's how they built Rome. To purchasing someone out of purgatory. My own grandma was told that. I have a very staunch Catholic background on my mother's side. In fact, Austin, Nevada, my great-great uncle was the priest there in the 1860s. This is huge Catholic things in our life. My mom had to step out of it for these purposes. And so purgatory, just praying people out, give me money, I'll pray your person out of purgatory. To how many Hail Marys we can say to fix stuff. The Lord is not condemning giving alms, but he's condemning the ostentatious giving of charity for the purpose of self-advertisement. And these things are considered wicked before the Lord. Now, how can we stop this? Let's close this sermon up. And since our flesh is always hungry for self-edification, all of us got this issue. We all want to be praised. In fact, when it comes to marriage counseling, there's only one thing, one need that a husband and wife both share, and that's sincere praise. Period. Now, we're way different on everything else, but sincere praise, we are the same. And so, number one, I would like to tell you one thing that must take place, and that is unsparing self-examination. Unsparing self-examination. You know, getting in the bleachers of your life. On occasion, the Lord will allow you to just step back and see how the game's going while you're still in it. As my coach used to say in football, the eye in the sky don't lie, Mark. You missed the block. That eye in the sky was a camera. And ask the Holy Spirit to allow you to step back and see yourself in the light of God's Word. They are rare days that we get to see ourselves in the light of His Word, and we are mostly humbled to the dust when this happens. But don't waste it. Sometimes this is a hard time. And we generally examine ourselves and we spare ourselves true examination because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Peter tells us that. And many times we say, well, I made a mistake. You know, stealing was not a mistake. It didn't slip. You premeditated it. You did it. You know, shoplifters, most all shoplifters are burglars. Because burglary is entering a structure, a tent, a house, a home with the intent to commit petty larceny battery or any other felony. That's right out of Nevada revised statutes. But shoplifting, you can't prove it because people walk around and they can say, I didn't think about it. I didn't have intent until I saw it and then I took it. So it becomes a petty larceny, unless it's over $250 and it's a grand larceny. But every once in a while, I'd go to a shoplifting and you'd watch them on camera and they'd look this way and look that way and they'd take out their JCPenney shopping bag and start loading it up. And so they entered with a shopping bag ready to do. And so we call that intent. And it was quite sometimes amusing to hear the guy go, okay, give me my ticket, I'm sorry. I said, oh, no, stand up, turn around, put your hands behind your back. It's a burglary. Why? You brought the shopping bag in. You see, you didn't make a mistake. You couldn't help yourself. No, forget all those excuses. When God calls you on, don't waste this time and make excuses. Just take it and let the Lord do his work in your life. Thomas Watson said this, make up your spiritual accounts daily. See how matters stand between God and your souls. Often reckoning, keep God and conscience friends. I like that. Do with your hearts as you do with your watches. Wind them every morning by prayer. You know, we don't do that anymore. But in the old days, we used to wind our watches. Mine's got a battery. I don't know. It'll never die. It just won't die. And at night, examine whether your hearts have gone true all the day, whether the wheels of your affections have moved swiftly toward heaven. Is that your life? Examine. Number two, sincere self-examination. Once the examination is clear and guilt is laid firmly at the foot of your soul, admit it openly to God. Confess it in tears, godly sorrow. Bless your heart. I mean, get real about it. Get by yourself. Admit the thing done was wicked. Call it what it is, open rebellion to the thrice holy God. This is great healing for your soul. But do not do what many do today. We're just going to readjust the word. We're just going to change it up a little bit, just a little to... You know, well, the Bible says that, but times are different. You know, we have a technology age. They didn't have a computer back then. Thank the Lord. We can't readjust the Word of God, and we have whole denominations doing it today. It's a battle. It's going to be a battle for Southern Baptists to stick with the Word of God in the next 10 years because it's going to get attacked, and we're going to become unpopular. And there's a whole bunch of Southern Baptists that don't like to be unpopular. But we're going to be. And we're going to have to stand. And I think if we do, I don't know how we'll go with church growth, but I know we'll grow the right way. Oh, church growth? Cancer grows. But let's grow towards the Lord. Thirdly, remind ourselves of the judgment of God upon this sin. You will have no reward with your Father who's in heaven. Verse 1. That sounds horrible. God does not reward hypocrisy, but he does punish it. So let's get real about it. It is very healthy for us to remember that when with sin, there is a penalty that will be paid at our expense. In this case, Jesus says, your reward is on the earth, not in heaven, the very place where we're warned not to store up treasures on this earth. Because rust happens. Moth, some thief breaks in and takes your stuff. But that doesn't happen in heaven. Fourthly, remember the sufferings of Christ on behalf and because of your sin and my sin. No real change will ever happen until we really get personal about our sin, about what Christ had to do to fix it. When we see that we have put Christ on the cross, it moves us to repentance. When my sins, Mark Morton's, put Christ on the cross, I had to deal with this offended party. I had to deal with Jesus himself. I had a moment of victim impact. Have you had that moment? You know what victim impact is. Some of you might know. You know, someone gets arrested for a DUI, and it seemed like a simple thing. It's their first offense, so they left a party, and they were tipsy, and they got pulled over, and They got arrested for DUI. They lost their driver's license for 60 days, and it's a $500 fine, and you got to go to impact, victim impact. And they sit in there, and a lady comes in, or a man, and they sit down in front of them, and they get to hear how this drunk driver killed their kid. And they cry, and they weep, and they wish they had their kid back. And he was about to be in college. I remember one kid here was already had the Stanford. He was a senior at Minogue. Had a scholarship to Stanford. When a DUI took his life. And that mama told the story. It's supposed to impact you. You know, Jesus took the hit, folks. And we need to get the victim impact here, that your sins, this is how bad we are, that Jesus died on the cross, this is how bad we are, not how good we are. And it should do it. A final sentencing of a defendant, the family gets to come in and share pictures of this beautiful daughter that you took from us. This has to happen in our life. We've done bad things. And if we don't have this, our religion will always be messed up. We'll never get right because we don't know how bad we are. And Jesus will show you this. Unless you want to go on with your hypocrisy and say, I'm okay like I am. You're not. And until a preacher poked his bony old finger at me and says, you're not okay like you are, did I ever get right with Christ? This is what we need to do. Now, how should we give alms? Well, we shouldn't sound a trumpet. But let me ask you a question. If no one ever knew what you would give, and would you still give? Jesus is calling us to give to him without any show. Man, if you've ever been to Montana State University, it's an incredible arena. It's one of the best football stadiums I've ever been to. It's really steep, though. But the game's like right there. But what's really weird about Montana State, the stadium's called Washington Stadium. I think that's messed up. Kevin probably likes it, but I know he's a Washington fan. But the thing is that a really rich man in Missoula, Montana is named Washington. And he gave a bunch of money to it, if they would call it Washington Stadium. And he got his reward. We can do this in religion. We can do that. Give for the sole intent and desire to please God, not men. Oh, you can give and receive so much. To know that you're sacrificing for the Lord. Church, I call on you. The only place in the Bible says, test me and show. I'll not give you a blessing pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. Test me in this. Give. Give. Give with all your heart. And don't let nobody. And by the way, I don't check the books. So if you're giving, you know, a bunch, I don't know. If you're giving a little, I don't know. I don't want to have that wickedness in my mind. I don't want to know. When someone calls, I come because they're in our church, whether they give or not. But God knows. And you say, well, Pastor, I can't give 10%. So you're not going to give at all? Really, the Lord's going to let you get away with that? Can you give 2%? Can you give anything? Sure you can. The Lord's calling you. And this, Jesus is not saying not to give. He says give with the right heart. Lastly, we should not congratulate ourselves in our giving. We should be sincere. You know what sincere means. It's a Latin term. It means without wax. It's really odd. Sincere came out of the pot-making business, not like Denver, Colorado pot. Mile high, like in a couple ways. But pots, pottery pots. And this is way back in the day when you went to the pot store and you bought a pot and you picked it up, and back then they would put this pot in a kiln and heat it up, And if it had flaws, it'd get a crack in it. And they would pull it out and go, man, this is a lot of clay. This is a lot of work. So they'd put this hard wax in the crack. And then they'd paint it. And the lady would come in to buy it, and she'd pick it up and say, is this sincere? In Latin, it means without wax. And they'd go, yes. And she'd pay them the money, and she'd take it home, and it would hold water fine until you put it under heat. And then they would heat this up, and all of a sudden, water start pouring out your pot that you just gave good money for, and they'd say, it's not sincere. Folks, there's coming a time when there's going to be some heat applied to you. I know you look good now. I know Mark Morton looks good now. He's preaching. He's up here. But everything's going to come out. And when heat's applied to me, and I'm going to be tested by fire, just like you, how's it going to roll? How's it going to be? And I'm going to have some cracks. It's going to show my intent of my heart. We need to confess this. Maybe you don't even know the Lord. Maybe your first step is not sincerity, but salvation. I need to come to faith in Christ. I'm playing games with God. I needed to get right with the Lord. Maybe you haven't had that victim impact. And maybe you never heard of it. Maybe that you put Jesus on the cross. And if you were the only one on earth, he'd have died for you. Do you know that? He'd have died for you if you're the only one here. Whatever decision you make, we have an invitation at this church. You come as the Lord leads you. You feel like you know the Lord and you want to join this church by baptism. The water's fine, literally. We're having baptism tonight. You know the Lord. You come as the Lord leads you. Would you stand to your feet? Let's give all the glory to God. Let's sing with our hearts.